Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We better bring on an expert to explain all this stuff. And boy, we have a good one out from Enquirer.com, the wordsmith himself, the great Mike Sielski. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Angelo.
Hey, Mike, I got to tell you, I loved your piece on the void that currently exists without sports. Could you explain to our audience the importance of sports in our lives?
Wow, do you have like 8 hours?
No, I would like it in under 40 seconds.
Okay. I think it's a point of connection for the most part. It has become one of the biggest, if not the biggest, connector socially among people. It's the way we bond. It's something that brings us all together, race, creed, color, orientation, all of that stuff. You know, the morning after Super Bowl 52, none of those things mattered. What mattered was, were you wearing an Eagles jersey? And I think the other thing is, and I talked to a couple experts about this, human beings naturally seek transcendence or perfection. They want to see greatness, and they want to feel connected to it, so that when we watch Michael Jordan play basketball or we watch Bryce Harper hit a long home run, we're seeing something that most of us can't do, and it gives us that feeling of there are things greater than us right here on Earth, and that's a pretty powerful feeling.
That part of your column, Mike, really blew my mind. The athletes are the best example we deal with in our lives of actually witnessing perfection, right? There's other walks of life where there is close to perfection, but you don't see it the way you do in sports. And it reminds us of the ultimate. That's kind of what you're saying there, right?
Yeah, I think it is. And there's a long explanation in the column about,
right,
you know, why fewer people go to church and seek that sort of feeling from religion and things like that. But the bottom line is we can see so much now. Like I thought about Babe Ruth's called shot back in the early 30s, right? It became this myth. Did he really say he was going to hit a home run and then hit a home run? Well, nowadays, you know, through science, you can see, you can explain everything. Why did LeBron James race down three quarters of the court and block that shot? Well, here's how fast he was moving.
Yeah.
Here's how high he was jumping. We track everything, and it's right there in front of us. It's more objective and solid, and yet we still get that feeling of transcendence from it.
Mike, I couldn't get over reading your column and following what's going on in baseball simultaneously and thinking how no one in baseball seems to be relating to sports and its value the way that your column did. Are they blocking it out? Give me your explanation for how baseball could be hitting such a bad PR note in the middle of this pandemic.
Well, I mean, it goes back to a saying that, you know, came up in politics, what, like 10 or 15 years ago, never let a crisis go to waste. And I think that that's part of what we're seeing now, at least on the ownership side. You know, that latest proposal certainly seems like an attempt to kind of cut the legs out from under the union and build dissension. The other part of this, too, is that I don't feel like anyone in our society now, you know, during this pandemic, feels like they're on solid footing with anything. I mean, we're all excited about the prospect of the NHL coming back, like your poll question said. But by the same token, that's a long way away from happening, and it's still no guarantee. You know, we're still in this yellow mode in Pennsylvania until June 5th, and the difference between yellow and red really isn't that great. I don't feel like anybody knows what's ahead or where we're actually at. I think what everybody does feel is this urge to try to get back to normal as much as we can. And so it's frustrating when you see the owners and the players in Major League Baseball, you know, ramming heads the way that they are. We just want it done. Just give us our games back so that we can feel normal again.
Mike, I want you to hear what Buster Olney said yesterday at ESPN. Because he's not just talking about there not being any season this year because they can't agree on the money. He's talking about long-term effects on the relationship between the players and the owners. Listen to this.
I would say this, that if the owners can't get a deal this summer that they feel like that they can work with to make baseball happen in 2020, it will become a major battle with the union, even ramped up from where it is now. I don't think there's any question. If there's no baseball in 2020, the likelihood of a labor stoppage, a problem in the next CBA talks, absolutely ramps up.
Mike, what if that all happens, right? This is a worst-case scenario. Is there baseball? Is it a major sport if we have no baseball this year and then a work stoppage?
That's a really good question because things had not been trending well societally for the sport as it was.
Yeah.
It was losing its popularity. You know, it was very popular in certain regions of the country, but not in all of them. You know, baseball is really popular in New York, but, you know, not necessarily, you know, the Dodgers don't generate the same sort of excitement in, say, LA that the Lakers do. You know, it doesn't, the games are on so late, you know, fewer and fewer kids are actually playing baseball. You see the rise of soccer and lacrosse. You know, and I'm sure baseball, people within baseball are feeling those pressures. So, yeah, I do think it's possible. That baseball takes a major, major hit out of this.
All right, Mike, I got to tell you, the last two things I want to talk to you about involve legacy because writers like you, people are really great at capturing a moment and a mood and a way a person feels about an athlete. You would be perfect in trying to describe what's going on. I'm going to start with Roy Halladay. These guys yesterday had a guy on from ESPN.
John Boyer,
who said straight up, Mike, that the Phillies were aware of his overuse of drugs and attempted to talk him out of it in 11, in 12, in 13. Here's what you were covering the team. Did you suspect or sense anything? And if you did, would you have written about it?
Well, first of all, just one small correction. I was not covering the team when Halladay was here. I was in New York at the time.
Oh, you were? Okay. No, but you, yeah. At the Wall Street Journal, you still might have gotten a word that he had this issue. Would you cover it? And how would you cover it?
That's a really good question. I mean, if you find out about something like that and you go through, to me, you go through all the proper, you know, journalistic checks, you know, you get someone on the record if you can, you present it to Roy, all of that. I mean, that's a news story. You have to write it.
Yeah.
I think the way you write about it, you know, is the key thing. You know, are you framing this as he's a terrible human being because of this weakness? Are you framing it as he's struggling with addiction, and that depends on, you know, what is happening at the time, how is, you know, all of the things that go into, you know, informing your coverage of anything. I mean, I remember we talked after, you know, his death, and I said to you, my initial reaction to it was anger, because here was a man who was a husband and a father of two, and how could he put himself in this position? How could he allow this accident, whatever the real proximate cause of it was, to happen? But then you take a step back and you think about, what is he going through? You know, what is he dealing with? What demons is, you know, are in his mind and heart? And then you, you know, reevaluate and rethink. You know, it's a hard thing to say. I did not know Roy. I did not cover him. You know, I enjoyed watching him pitch like a lot of people do, but to be in that situation, it's a tricky thing. And it's a hard thing to come down on one side or another. I think you have to have some space in your heart and your mind for him as a human being.
What's amazing to me is you were just talking about perfection. He may have been the closest to it. He literally, one game was perfection. So he did. Now I want to ask you about the legacy of Michael Jordan, all right? Because Michael Jordan, most of the people who were involved with him during his career are saying blatantly now that much of what he said in the documentary was not true. And there were specific examples of him getting rid of Isaiah Thomas from the Dream Team, claiming he didn't, but there's audio proving that he did. Are people going to think differently about him now than they did before that docuseries?
I think a generation of people will and a generation of people won't. It has always struck me that there is a group of both fans and in particular media members who are I would say, about like 5 to 15 years older than I am. Guys now, men and women now who are in like their late 40s to late 50s, early 60s, who looked at Jordan like he could walk on water, and anything he did, you know, was great, and the cost that was paid for him to win those championships, you know, was worth it. It didn't matter how badly he treated people. And I think that's a big function of the way sports was covered back then, the access that they had. They felt like they knew Jordan, all of these things. You know, and I'm not just talking about someone like Ahmad Rashad. I'm talking about actual writers and reporters and columnists.
I'm so glad you said that.
But I do think that younger people are going to look at this and say, to a degree, and maybe, you know, maybe some older people too, like me, you know, what is it with this guy? Like, you have to be this much of a jerk all the time. You're this concerned about shaping your image, you know, all the way into your 50s, and making sure everybody has this particular view of you and crushing your enemies and all of that stuff. It's as we've talked about before, I didn't like it. I think it was really off-putting. I think it was cool in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think that younger generation is going to look at him and say, you know, yeah, he was a great player, but, man, he was a jerk.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. You're doing a book on the early days of Kobe Bryant. Right? You just announced that, right, that you have a contract to do this book. I've got to guarantee that some of what you witnessed with Michael is going to seep into your analysis of Kobe and how he was formed, because he was looking at Michael while all that was happening. I got to assume that's going to be part of what you end up being the end product of this book.
It's certainly a question I'm going to explore. There's a line in his autobiography, in Kobe's autobiography, Mamba Mentality, in which he talks about how as a kid he was totally image conscious, and then he grew out of that as he grew up and, you know, spent 20 years in the NBA and felt more assured about himself. And my book is really going to focus on the early half of his life, right up until the moment he enters the NBA. So, yeah, that's definitely a question I'm going to explore. And, you know, I'm hoping to learn a whole lot about, you know, what Kobe Bryant was like before he became Kobe Bryant.
Mike, keep us updated on that. I make an early prediction. It'll be awesome. Mike, thank you as always, pal.
Thanks, Angelo. And, hey, I've been thinking of you, you know, with everything you've been going through. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. A little later, I'm going to get Billy's take on this. Would I play for you one of the lies that Jordan blatantly told? Because it's mind-boggling. Wow. And I want to see if Billy is reordering his own brain with Michael Jordan, because he should be, but I'm not sure he is. Nathan's up next. So, hi, Nathan.
Hey, Ange.
Nathan, baseball, right? Are you getting fed up?
Yeah, because it's getting ridiculous at this point, because nobody can agree on anything.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, here's the thing. Why would the owners take a situation where it was already bad and find a way to make it worse? Billy, they tried to divide the players. They tried to set up a pecking order. The really rich guys are on one side, but the far greater number of lesser guys who would take less of a pay cut, they're going to vote down the rich guys, right?
Well,
that's what they're hoping for.
Because I think
screw that.
They're looking ahead to the collective bargaining agreement in a year and a half.
It's a pandemic. Do you understand, people? I was in Rhode Island now. They're still nuts up there. I mean, they're losing their mind up there with all the people that are dying.
Yeah.
And we're worried about how rich we are?
Well, when you're that rich, it is not affecting you.
Yeah.
It's like they're just...
Then they're out of touch. They're totally out of touch with what's going on.
But yeah. But most of the time, they aren't in touch with reality.
They're not anyway.
No. It's like...
So how do we get them in touch?
Well, the question is, are they going to make more money without playing?
They're not going to make more money if they don't have a sport.
Well, they're looking at it like if there's no fans in the stands,
right.
So you're losing 40% right there.
Right.
And then if you can save that on the next collective bargaining agreement long term.
Well, Al, they don't play this year because they can't come to an agreement financially.
Right. Yeah.
What's left of the sport?
Well, the problem is they can't sell tickets for next year.
No.
Because
I just want to know how many people say screw you. If you can't be there during a pandemic your fans,
the problem is,
who's going to these games?
Well, the problem is it's never happened that people have said, screw you.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? No, they've been saying it. Baseball's in
they've
decline.
They've never done it. They come back, and they get more money from TV.
They're still making money.
The problem that they're not seeing is the NBA and NHL are a real problem, not for playing now.
Right.
their seasons next year will be in high, right when baseball's starting.
That's true.
They will be having.
That's
and,
true.
Yeah, and that is a that's
They're
an issue.
Go face
They've
to face,
never
head
had
to head.
That issue
yeah.
before. They won't. There will be no money to buy tickets for baseball.
That's a great yeah. point. And I never looked at. He's
and,
right.
Yeah, and in football, will probably yep. be going as
yeah.
well.
No, so they're going to be up against one another like they never, have,
never
before.
Have before.
So you're going to need to prioritize yeah. what you want to say.
Yeah.
And how far down the pecking order is baseball going to go? And, because people don't like
and
them.
Exactly. Those sports are going to be going into playoffs.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. Nathan, they better wake up. They haven't woken up yet. I could neither side. By the way, if there's one thing I could tell you is I got no rooting interest. I hate them both. I hate them all. There's no one I don't hate. All right, John Middleton, I kind of like him.
Yeah.
He's Joe Girardi is a pretty good guy, yeah. too. All right, but that's
everybody
it.
Else?
No, all the rest of them.
Matt Klentak.
Klentak, he's on the bad side.
What about Gabe?
No, Gabe's on the bad side. Nathan, I need a great burger. It's National Hamburger Day.
There's this burger place up by where I live. It's called Five Guys. It's really good.
Yeah, we already had Five Guys. Where's Dan? I need the list of all the ones we have so far. Because, guys, we have not yet had a restaurant burger.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one over the weekend.
Really?
It's a long story. But it was insanely good.
You're not going to mention it in case someone does?
Exactly, Rhea. And Al, there are some amazing bars in this town.
Yeah.
They're decorated. They're known as the greatest burgers in America, if yeah. not the world. 215-592-9494. Where are we right now, Dan?
All right, we got In-N-Out, Five Guys, Wendy's, and Shake Shack.
All right, those are all fast food burgers, and they're all excellent. Wake up out there. There's a million other burgers. Billy's not vote for any of those. None of them cost that much.
I do have one for you. I will give you
All later. Right. When we come back, though, I got to start to give you a little sample for what life is like at a funeral during the coronavirus. Because I had it up in Rhode Island yesterday. Mm. And actually, Al, there were some amusing moments.
Only you.
In Rhode Island. And in what became my final visit to my home state.
I can't believe
I have
that.
A few things I would like
I can't
to share
even
with
believe
you.
That.
WIP Sports Type 7AT. Last Great. One. Forever. WIP Sports Type 7AT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.